should Martin McGuinness receive a Peace Award for his work helping to move Northern Ireland beyond the Troubles? The former Deputy First Minister and Sinn Féin leader is up for the 2016 Tipperary International Peace Award. Previous winners include Nelson Mandela, the former Soviet President Gorbachev, and former US President Bill Clinton. Some people are angry that the former IRA leader is in the running for a peace prize, with the TUV stating McGuinness remains unrepentant about his role in terrorism. What the Tipperary Peace Award Committee are really saying is that you can be involved in a terrorist organisation and be recognised for a contribution towards peace without expressing one scintilla of remorse or regret. The commentators Malachy O'Doherty and Jude Collins with us this morning. Malachy, morning to you.
Morning, Stephen. Morning, Jude.
And Jude, morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
What do you think, Malachy?
Well, I think certainly Martin McGuinness has achieved wonderful things, and he's he did effect a degree of reconciliation at some level that was not expected of him. But he has not really come clean on his past in the IRA. He except because he had to in the Savile inquiry that he was in the IRA until about 1973. I mean, the security briefings, the books written on the histories of the IRA always put him in a much, much more prominent role for much, much longer than that. I just think that somebody who had that much higher role should be more frank about it. I think this would be a good time to be honest about it. And I think also that his major contribution within republicanism and within that tradition could have been to say, you know, actually, we were wrong, you know. And I don't think he's ever going to say that. I mean, of course, he's not going to say that. He's a committed Republican. But the real contribution that he could have made would have been not just to say that the physical force tradition within republicanism is completed by the achievement of devolution, which is, you know, a lot of Republicans don't accept, but actually it would have been to say, you know, we jumped the wrong way in 1970. And we made things worse before we made them better.
Jude?
Well, I think it's a question of which part of Martin McGuinness's career you focus on. I think it'd be fairly safe to say that the Tipperary Committee have selected the part of his career where he was working patiently and courteously and at considerable risk to himself in terms of personal safety as well as political safety, working with former enemies. Ending up, in fact, in one remarkable case we all know about, where he made that enemy into a friend. You see, I think it's very important, as somebody has said, if somebody has a past, that they must be allowed to have a future. And if you're going to say that violence in the past, which is what the key issue is, not the date on which he was involved in the violence, but was he involved in it, and he's frank about that he was, then you've got to go through history and score out the names of any number of people. A couple of them were mentioned, like there were violent acts perpetrated by American forces during Bill Clinton's presidency. There were violent acts associated with Nelson Mandela. That's what he was in jail for. There are violent acts associated with Bomber Harris. In fact, if you look at people like Churchill and Harris and George Washington, Harry Truman, they have monuments erected to them. Their names are honored not for the peace work they did, but for the violence that they exerted on others.
Well, Jude, I'm not saying I would have given it to Clinton either, you know, or, you know, but, and Nelson Mandela, to his credit, never denied that he was in the ANC. And
that was what kept him in jail all those years.
That's why they kept him in jail. But, I mean, Martin McGuinness could do several things. First of all, he could unburden himself if there's any guilt there, you know, because, I mean, he spent most of his younger life in the ready anticipation that he would die young or that he would spend the rest of his days in prison. And he was very, very lucky to escape that. And he was very fortunate to get an opportunity to move into a political future which excluded that. But a lot of other people didn't. And he was responsible. Let's be clear about this. He was responsible for a lot of the suffering that continues in Northern Ireland. And, I mean, you have to consider what would be the impact on victims of this. There's already an impact in elevating Martin to a quite considerable position already. It's already difficult for people to resolve themselves to, given that he has not been candid about it. And I think, you know, to put him in a platform and bestow an honour on him as a peacemaker, as if that was primarily the defining character of his life, ignoring the fact that between 73 and up to probably about 2000, he was a very, very senior figure in the IRA directing acts of terrorism, and that he never, ever acknowledged that.
I'm going to interrupt you both for just a second, because the Honorary Secretary of the Tipperary International Peace Award Committee is Martin Quinn. Martin, morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Martin. Why is Martin McGuinness a worthy nominee, given the fact that he has not apologised for his past?
Could I say, first of all, I was just explaining to the researcher there, I'm not going to get into a debate about any of the nominees. There are six nominees on the shortlist for the 2016 Peace Award. So it wouldn't be appropriate for me to get into a debate about any nominee. What I will say is that the nominees, the nominations are received by Tipperary Peace Convention. So the nominations, we don't select the nominees. The nominees are selected by members of the public, organisations, peace-related organisations. We don't take nominations from political parties, for instance, but we do take nominations from members of the public.
But how do you arrive at a shortlist, Martin?
Yes, from the nominations that are received, we arrive at a shortlist.
So you've shortlisted Martin McGuinness. Why do you think he's an appropriate shortlist nominee?
He's on the shortlist because of the nominations that have been received by members of the public.
So it comes down to volume of nominees, does it?
Sorry, say that again.
It comes down to the volume of nominees, does it? Or is there
no,
any...
No. Don't put words in my mouth now.
I'm asking you then is, why did you decide to shortlist them? What criteria did you use?
Yes, the criteria has been submitted by members of the public and by the organisations. So the criteria which is sent in to us is considered by the Peace Convention members. So I'm not going to go into each criteria of each person as to why they are or are not worthy of a nomination.
How would you react to the TV leader, Jim Allister, saying that Mr. McGuinness remains unrepentant about his role in terrorism, and that what your committee is doing is saying that you can be involved in a terrorist organisation and be recognised for a contribution towards peace without expressing a scintilla of remorse or regret? How would you respond to that?
Yeah, as I said to you, I've been caught on the hop here. You just called me and put me directly on air, firstly. And I'm not going to contradict anything that anybody else has said. I don't know what they've said, actually, so I'm not going to contradict them. And I'm sure they have very worthy reasons for saying what they've said. So I'm not going to get into an argument about anything that anybody has said, except to say that we have six nominees, and I don't want this to descend into a debate about one of the six, because there are six nominees
to
be considered. Sorry?
You don't want to say anything at all, do you?
I want to say that there are six nominees, and not one. There are six nominees for the award.
Okay. And you don't know what criterion is selected on our shortlist?
We'll pick this up after the 10 o'clock news. Malcolm Tocherty and Jude Collins still with us this morning. The story? Should Martin McGuinness receive a peace award for his work helping to move Northern Ireland beyond the Troubles? The former Deputy First Minister and Sinn Féin leader is up for the 2016 Tipperary International Peace Award. Jude and Malcolm, thank you for staying with us. Jude, your assessment of where this is at. You heard one of the organisers of the event there before 10.
Well, I suppose he's uneasy about the fact that Martin McGuinness did have a violent past. But I think, as I was saying before the break, if you're going to use the criterion of violence in the past as something that disqualifies people from being honoured in the future, you're going to have to start with a number of people like Nelson Mandela and others. There are many people like, as I say, Churchill and George Washington and Bomber Harris, who were honoured not for having a violent past and then a peaceful and productive future. They're honoured, actually, for their violent past. The other thing I would say is, and I'm not sure Maliki has emphasised this sufficiently, we have to see the violence of the past as it was. The fact of the matter is, tens of thousands of young men involved themselves in violence. Now, there's two ways you can see that. Either you see it as a mass outbreak of botulist psychotic violence and mayhem and condemn them. And that's one acceptable view of things, and many people hold it. There is another way, which Martin McGuinness saw, which was fighting back, as he said, of 50 years of misrule and gerrymander and discrimination. When civil rights marchers appeared on the streets, they were beaten off the streets. A prime case being one of the first people who was killed in the Troubles was Sammy Devaney, who was pursued, a gerryman pursued, into his own house by the RUC and beaten to death. You had the burning of Bombay Street. You had a whole series of things which led a section of the population to say, we don't think we're going to get change without meeting a fire.
Maliki?
Well, this is the old drivel. I mean, Jude, I mean, are you really familiar with this?
I haven't said anything you've said is drivel yet.
On the one hand, you say one theory is that this might have been a mass psychosis. And that's not my theory. I don't subscribe to that at all. And then you say that the behaviour that was entered into by these people was in some measure a rational response to the circumstances. And it absolutely was not a rational response to the circumstances that they were in and achieved nothing. And it took them 20 years to work that out themselves.
How do you know, Maliki, that it wasn't a rational response?
Well, I mean, and in any case, what was rational about Bobby Sands going into a furniture shop to blow up a furniture shop?
If you saw your fellow townsmen,
I was there. I'm 66 years old. I was there in 1969. In 1972.
If you saw people being murdered at the end of your street by British forces.
I saw them murdered by the paras at the end of my street. It doesn't mean that I go and bomb a furniture shop.
Can you not see that clearly that's what motivated tens of thousands of young
people. Irrational things.
The fact
motivated people to do irrational things.
You are a pacifist and see all violence as being...
I didn't say that. When did I say that?
Well, you've just said it.
I'm saying, look...
Violence with violence.
Well, I mean, Aquinas, and you would know you're Aquinas, set out the four justifications, the four rational points of a just war, one of which would be prospect of success. In what way... No, let me say this. Let me say this because it's important.
Well, I don't think I can prevent you, Maliki.
Good. In what way was it a rational response to the circumstances of the time to bomb pubs, to bomb people, pubs that your own people would be drinking in? In what way was it a rational response to the time to blow up a furniture shop?
Let's then respond.
Sorry?
Go ahead, Jude.
You're now talking about the conduct of the violence and the...
Oh, see, that's different, is it?
Well, we're talking about, was it understandable that people like Martin McGuinness got caught up in the violence that tens of thousands of young men were caught up in? And I would say it's probably very understandable indeed.
Okay.
That's not to say that I would have done that.
Let's say we're second home, Stuart and Clocker.
Can I just make this last point, Steve?
Yes.
When people joined the IRA in those days, they were told, your chances of being killed or being in prison in a very short time are very high. Now, they still joined the IRA. Are you saying that that was motiveless, that there was nothing driving them, that the circumstances of the time didn't matter? I think not.
Stuart and Clocker. Morning, Stuart.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, thank you for letting me on, first of all. There's a couple of points I want to make. There's a few other candidates that are deserving of the award as well, but the reason why I think Martin should be included is because the Troubles in Ireland, in the whole of Ireland, were very bad over the years. Some of the worst Troubles you'll ever see in the world. And there was deep wounds on both sides. Wounds that might never possibly ever be healed. But Martin brought the Republicans in a new direction. He brought them in a new direction that most Republicans thought they'd never see. He shook hands with the Queen, which I thought, I was born in 1972, and I grew up through the Troubles, right up to the peace. And my children today, I wouldn't like to see them going through what I went through, what my friends went through, on both sides. I wouldn't want to see my children, and my children's children, hopefully. I don't want to see them go through the same. And I think Martin should be commended in some small way. Maybe, whether he deserves the award or not, that's for other people to say. I think he deserves the recognition for what he has done. And he has brought people, you know, he has brought people to the water, but he can't make them drink it. You know, Ian Paisley, he stuck up a friendship with Ian Paisley as well, which, you know, I mean, who in the right mind?
Jim Ellis just pointed out that Martin hasn't expressed any remorse or regret.
Well, I can't answer that question. I can't speak for Martin. I can't speak for Martin's past. I don't really know what Martin's past, you know what I mean? All I can say is that if Martin sometime in the future, maybe he will, who's to say he won't? But, you know what I mean, I understand there's victims on both sides,
okay.
And I know there's victims on the Ulster side as well.
Sure, thank you very much indeed. Jim Wilson, you have an interesting point to make.
Well, I have, Stephen, and just listening to your contributor there, and I don't, sometimes I wouldn't disagree with what he's saying, but total and abject remorse was the words that Gussie Spence used on behalf of loyalism. And David Irving, who was a great architect of the peace, and most politicians in this country know what he'd done for loyalism and move loyalism forward. And I believe that, you know, and when we're talking about these things, why was his name not mentioned by our contributors there? Because from our constituency point of view, that's been a massive, massive loss to our community for leadership and for direction and all those things. So what David Irving done in his past, you know, I think in the course of what a short period that he had in his life that he had left, and what he done was tried and make up for those things we all done that were wrong and bad within our community and within our society. So I believe that I would love to ask Malachy and Jude, you know, do they believe that David should have been awarded this award? And why was his name maybe not put forward? Well, you know, is the stigma of loyalism too dirty to think that there's people within our communities who are trying to move forward, move the process forward, and on the ground try and move the peace process forward, you know?
Jim, thank you. Unfortunately, we let Malachy and Jude go there, but thanks for your call this morning.